Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank all of you for tuning in. So today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about some of the misconceptions supported in the yoga community today and why it may not be working according to plan. In this show, we will be revisiting the differences between a secular practice and a spiritual practice of yoga. Listen as we explain why spirit and matter can never meet in the same way light dispels darkness, spirit dissolves matter. We will discuss a belief in matter and the management of the fears associated with mortality prevents spiritual understanding. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and activate spiritual truth. So Swami, what I first would like to do is to maybe unbox the title of the show today. And that title is Stress Management Prevents Spiritual Enlightenment. So first of all, what is your take on stress?
Well, to me, stress is a belief in fear. And if you have a belief in fear, then you have to drill that down a little bit and figure out that you have a belief in matter. And this is how it starts to become a huge barrier to what we're trying to achieve with a Kriya Yoga practice, which is spiritual enlightenment. And that's what we're really trying to talk about here, is just how this word yoga has become such a broad topic. But today we are approaching it secularly, and the misconception is that it is leading to spiritual understanding. And was something that I experienced not only on a personal level, but then also in a lot of the work that I've been doing to try and understand why my original spiritual science wasn't working for me.
Well, I think what's interesting is we have these phrases like, in the title of the show, stress management. It's like we have to manage our fears. And I've heard about managing back pain or managing a condition. And I think that's really keeping us away from how we really should be approaching these conditions.
Right, because there should be no condition at all. And that's what I've finally started to understand. The condition is only an appearance. It's only a thought about what is really there. And so once we start to build a practice from a spiritual foundation, from spiritual truth, then it dispels the belief in matter, dispels the belief in the possibility of mortality. And so that's a much different approach to the spiritual science of yoga. But you can't do it in parts. And that's what I found, is that the collective consensus seems to be that if we employ physical, mental, and spiritual means, that we will be covered, and that it is a superior approach because you're combining all of these different strategies. But in truth, it doesn't work like that because they don't work together. And the main reason is because, like we said in the opening, just like light dispels darkness, spirit dissolves matter. That truth dispels error. And the belief in immortality will dispel the belief in mortality.
So what would you say to somebody if they came to you for counsel and they said, Well, I'm managing my stress the best way I can.
Right. But see, that's the whole thing, is that you will always be a mortal creature managing a condition. In fact, that was part of my lesson. I was using the physical practice of yoga to manage my fear, trying to come out from under unnecessary dependencies, addictions. And then you find that on some level, we're all codependent because we have a belief in matter. So it doesn't matter whether you're using heroin to validate yourself, or you're using exercise to validate yourself, or you're using food to validate yourself, or you're using breath to validate yourself. The problem is that you're trying to validate what isn't there. You're trying to validate this physical form, which is just a thought about what is really there. And so we really have to come out from the belief in need completely in order to really accept spiritual identity. Once you have shifted from something that relies on belief for its existence to the self-existent spiritual identity, then that's when whatever you're doing will now have internal power. But until you do that, you're going to still be working with a concept of what is really there. And the major problem with that is that it doesn't have any power.
So I understand that, because we've been working with this type of principles for quite some time now. But somebody new to this, to get them to understand that their stress isn't real, is probably a hard pill to swallow.
Right. It's not a question of that it isn't real. And in order to be able to understand what we're talking about here, is that we're just trying to establish the difference between a secular practice and a spiritual practice. Because you can't build from a material basis and wind up in a spiritual form. And this radical reliance on the sustaining infinite is required to activate spirit in your experience. That spirit says, trust and I will show. But we must know the truth to activate it, and to understand the benefit that will come with being under the protection of divine law. That it's not just saying this feeling, this fear that I have isn't real. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is understanding that you are an eternal spiritual being. Not saying that I'm an eternal spiritual being, but knowing this to be true dispels any fear that you might possibly think you have.
So by getting somebody to realize that would really be their first step into overcoming this fear.
Right. Because the first thing, what will happen is just like we said, just like light dispels darkness, the presence of spirit dissolves the belief in matter. So, and that's what we kind of talked about last week, that union with the divine is where this whole thing begins. But once you make that correctly, then there can't be any fear.
So if we put God first, which is what you have been talking about for years now, in everything that we do, if we come to that realization first, then that would really help dissolve the fear,
right,
the stress.
Right. And so that gets you away from just, I want to say, the Western approach to yoga, which has become really rooted in medical beliefs, material beliefs, and it has really lost its spiritual roots. And in fact, most people today, I find that they're actually doing yoga to be more desirable, to look younger, to live longer. And all of this stuff isn't really what it was designed or intended to do. Like we say, the goal of yoga is spiritual enlightenment. But what we have lost is the signposts that one could use to be able to troubleshoot what they're doing. Because how do you know that what you're doing is working? Because if you don't have any way of testing it, and this is what else we've been talking about, is this whole thing of putting healing on the table. Sure, the medical community is admitting that 90% of all of these diseases that we're all struggling with are stress-related on some level, but that doesn't really offer you any kind of a solution if you continue to work with material means because you have a belief in matter. And you can't lift yourself off the earth from the earth. So in order for us to really get out from under the belief in sickness, which to me, that was a quantum leap, is just to try and understand that sickness is not spiritually ordained. It's not self-existent. There aren't two powers in this universe. There's only one, and it's absolute goodness. It's absolute life. But in order for us to come to that revelation, there are some things that have to be in place. And one of them is we have to start to free ourselves from the moorings of material beliefs. And then the other thing that's really important is we have to start to blend our thoughts with the presence of spirit. And one of the things that we've always said is all the good, beautiful, and true attributes belong to God, to goodness. And so as we start to blend our thoughts with these divine qualities, they become more buoyant. And as our consciousness starts to rise and widen, then we start to have a better understanding of what it is that I'm talking about.
So you're saying before that stress is tension or conflict and originates from the belief in two powers. So we have to overcome the fact that we have this belief in two powers, meaning matter and spirit. But what if somebody tries to come to that realization and they still feel the stress? They still feel the physical parts of stress. The heart is pounding, they're sweaty, you know, all these things happen. What's their next step?
Well, again, practice makes perfect, but practice can only make perfect if practice is perfect. So a lot of times we really have to go back to the drawing board. I still use the same template that I work with. Am I thinking right? Am I breathing right? Am I hydrating? Am I nurturing myself with good food? And am I exercising right? Because these are some of the things that we start to use the human perception of what is really there to give us clues as to what am I holding in my consciousness? How am I thinking? And to think right, like you say, means to understand this truth, that we must understand that spirit is all. And spirit is absolute life, absolute goodness. And from that principle, from that foundation, then you can start to build. But the main thing is that it shouldn't take time. That this revelation is immediate, that the perfection of being is here. It's right here, right now, and it is just awaiting our recognition of it. So if it isn't working, my suggestion is to review what it is that you're doing.
So I'm thinking maybe one of the first things I need to do is realize what you're saying, take a look at how I'm breathing, eating, drinking, exercising, but also how is it that I think of myself?
Right. I mean, have you assumed spiritual identity? Do you even know what that would look like if you were doing it? And a lot of this comes under thinking right. And that's why we have to teach this as a demonstrable science. Because if you don't really have the letter of the truth, it makes it that much more difficult for you to internalize the spirit of the truth.
Well, I think this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, you always say that like attracts like. Well, how does that work in this model?
Well, that's what we call the physics of spirituality. So fear begets fear, but truth begets truth, whatever it is that we are attracted to. And so you can't be attracted to fear and limitation and expect to have truth and wholeness as your outcome. That's why we say we must know ourselves in the way that we are known by the Creator in order to invite spirit into our experience. We must know what it is to desire spirit, to become spiritual. And spirit is the one element that doesn't report in our senses. Spirit is invisible and intangible. And it's oftentimes referred to as the void or the nothing, but it's only void or nothing to human sense or human perception. But in truth, it is the self-existent principle of this universe. And for us to acquire a taste for it is really how you're going to invite it into your experience.
I see. So is it possible for us to get this level of perfection in this dualistic world?
Yeah, and I really like what Mary Baker Eddy says in her book, Science and Health. If man has lost perfection, then he has lost his perfect principle, the divine mind. And to understand what she means by that is that the Bible calls this either we either sow to the flesh or we sow to the spirit. That if we identify with ourselves as a mortal creature and we feel that we have needs and we have a personal sense of who we are, then in truth, we must be disconnected from this impersonal, absolute spiritual presence, the divine mind. That's what we've been talking about, is how to come out of human thought, our human modes of thinking, and forsake it for this divine knowing. And again, I really like what Mary Baker Eddy says in Miscellany, where she says, you can never demonstrate spirituality until you declare yourself to be immortal and understand that you are so. Christian Science is absolute. It is neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing towards it. It is at this point and must be practiced therefrom. So understanding that we are eternal spiritual beings, that we are the expression of the perfection of being, the expression of an indestructible principle, becomes your starting point, your foundation. The first thing that you're going to notice is that once you have made this a clear understanding for yourself, then there will never be any fear.
Well, we talked about demonstrable science, spiritual science. Why do you think that we don't have witness to that in our time, in these days?
Well, I really don't have an answer for that because, first of all, maybe there are people out there who are healing the sick, raising the dead, reforming the sinner. From my understanding, though, when I think about when Mary Baker Eddy was on the planet, that she died in 1910, and at that time, like the telephone was just coming out of the ground. People were still in horses and buggies. The automobile was just coming out of the ground. And yet Christian Science was known globally. Today, with communication the way it is, you would think that if there was somebody that was healing the sick, reforming the sinner, and raising the dead, that it would spread like wildfire, that everybody would know that this was going on. And the only thing that I can come up with is that it seems that we have lost the true meaning of her discovery. With time and distance from the very explicit instruction that when she set up her church, when she set up Christian Science, that it was very important that you didn't stray from her instruction, that this is a very exact science. And if you miss it, one little hairbreadth in her instruction, it will affect the outcome. And so as a result, I think that we've kind of lost what it is that she has discovered, because I would think that by now, Christian Science, spiritual healing, spiritual understanding would have spread like wildfire and there would be no sickness on the planet today. But it's just the opposite is true. Sickness is the largest growing industry on this planet, and Christian Science is diminishing. This is where I've been putting most of my time and effort, is in just unboxing everything that I can find about what this woman has discovered, because it has diminished from when she was on the planet, when Christian Science was the largest, fastest growing organization on the planet at the time, to what it is today.
So she was able to actually heal herself, and therefore she was able to demonstrate this to others. Now, do you think that that's an important component, that we need to heal ourselves before we could even think about having a success rate to heal others?
Well, to answer your question, I'm not exactly sure. The thing that I am immersing myself in is her teaching. But what I found initially was Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures is a wonderful textbook. She actually put down on paper clear instruction in how to demonstrate divine law with scientific certainty. Now, one of the things that I'm learning is that to do this from a book, even though it is quite possible, that without being in the presence of an individual who has materialized the word of spirit, that they have embodied divine principle, and to be in that frequency, to be in that presence, makes it a little bit easier from what I understand than from trying to get this from a book. The other thing is that if you had a teacher, somebody who could look at you and understand your level of consciousness, your degree of awareness, and offer you some helpful suggestions as to where you need to put your effort, I think could also be quite helpful. But the bottom line is, we have to stick to the letter of her teaching, that you really can't try and stray from what it is that she is saying, but you do have to try and drill down and understand what she means by certain terms. Simple things like to think with God as God shows you the perfection of the body. Well, for the average person, what does that look like? Because even the idea of God, and I really like what Ames Knowles says, that the correct idea of God, which is ideally God's idea of himself, that's something that as you meditate on that and you really start to see how this one divine life looking out into itself is really all that there is. And depending on how far you have gone down the rabbit hole of personal sense, personal self, that's a tough climb out.
I see that we have a quote here from Mary Baker Eddy from Unity of Good, and maybe this would be a good time that we could talk about that.
Oh, this quote here, "Truth defiant of error or matter is science, dispelling a false sense and leading man into the true sense of selfhood and womanhood. Go forth in the radiance of eternal being and its perfections, unchanged and unchangeable."
I think what I like about that saying is actually the very first few words when she says, "Truth defiant of error or matter is science." So it leads you to believe that this is what it is. It's science. It must be true.
Well, not only is it true, but it's demonstrable. That this whole thing of truth defiant of error or matter, what does she mean by that? Because error or matter, she's really saying that matter is error, and that any identity with matter is the sin. That's what the Bible's talking about. And most of us are embroiled in this personal sense of I. Now, enlightenment must be attained on spiritual truth and not a belief in matter. This is a spiritual universe making all spirit. By understanding identity to be spiritual and not material, one shifts from the belief in two powers to the one spiritual truth. In truth, there is only one power, which is absolute harmony, love, life, principle, and spirit. What we originally had said, stress, is tension or conflict originating in a belief in two powers. Now, what Mary Baker Eddy says, in order to reach the true knowledge and consciousness of life, we must learn it of good. Of evil, we can never learn it, because sin shuts out the real sense of life and brings in an unreal sense of suffering and death. So this is what we were talking about, that we really must make our thoughts more buoyant by filling our minds with spiritual virtue, spiritual characteristics.
Well, I think this is a good place to start breaking down our show for this morning. So listeners, I invite you to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. And once you're there, if you want to access the Blog Talk Radio shows, we have some listed 3/4 of the way down on the homepage under Swami Says Recent Posts. And we also have a free webinar that Swami does every Wednesday at noon, and you can access that through the online classes tab. Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to accept their spiritual identity and come out of the belief in matter, period, and start to understand the perfection of their being, that they are the expression of an indestructible principle. And with that, I wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.